This is Kate from conversationswithkate.net, inviting you to join us and improve your listening comprehension while you learn from conversations with my guests from all over the world. I created this podcast for English language learners who want to stress less and become more confident when speaking in English. This is episode number 37, a continuation of my conversation with bilingual reading therapist Leila Atiga-Bedis. In this episode, you'll learn more about reading therapy and dyslexia. You'll also hear Leila talk about her recent trip to Jordan and Turkey. When we pick up the conversation, I ask Leila to explain the difference between a reading teacher and a reading therapist. You became a reading therapist. Some people don't understand the difference between a reading teacher and a reading therapist. You want to explain that to our listeners?
Yes, sure. A reading therapist is a reading specialist who can help people who struggle with literacy because of, due to any kind of learning differences or learning difficulties. They do have dyslexia, and a lot of people know what dyslexia is. Some people, they don't have dyslexia, but they read, but they can't understand what they're reading. Some of them can't decode the language because, the written English language is tough. Some people, reading just comes to them, quickly, and some they can't because of the variation of the sound pictures in English, because of the overlap in some sounds. And literacy is a word that has, reading, it has spelling, it has comprehension. So the reading therapist is someone who can evaluate, give based on assessments that you give. And you can determine what the problem is, whether it's, the decoding is the problem, is the problem the spelling, is the problem the comprehension. And then you start addressing these problems and you start working on what's making this child not excel at school, or what's making this child taking so much to do the homework, or what's making this student, hate reading.
Does it occur in every country, every language, dyslexia?
Yes. Dyslexia is worldwide. And a lot of people with dyslexia, it's like some people, they would mix letters. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to form letters. They can't associate the letter, the picture, the letter of the picture with its sound. They would mix it. They have, their memory is very, very short. Some of them read, but they don't understand what they're reading. Mm-hmm. They don't try, if they see new words, they get stuck. Some of them, they can't do auditory processing. So if they want to read a word, for instance, tree, they would say t-t-r-r-r. They can't. Like tree, they would say t. You say that, sound it out, they can't link that the E is double E in tree. Mm-hmm. And E double E is giving you only one sound. So they can't do this. And the same applies to any language. Like in Arabic, they can't, like Arabic, for instance, has a lot of accents. The letter, it can be an A, or it can be an U, or it can be an E. And you can have it in long, like ba, bu, bi. They wouldn't be able to differentiate the sounds. They wouldn't be able to link the sounds to what they see in front of them.
And the reason
is dyslexia. The reason is it can be heredity. It's because the memory, the brain itself, the part of the brain that works to decode what's written in front of them is in the different side. So they don't know how to use the brain correctly.
Can you actually help the brain rewire itself?
Yes. Well, what I use, the phonographics, one of actually a revolution research that they applied on students when this whole reading program was you know, at the beginning, is that they took some students that were diagnosed as dyslexic with, you know, psychiatrists, with people who can diagnose that this person has dyslexia, and they put them in a trial and did clinical hours on them using phonographics. And then they did an MRI for the same, they did an imaging for them before and after, and they found out that after phonographics, their brain started, you know, recoding itself, and they were able to start the, that's why phonographics is a big, big reading program and a big revolution, because you can see the effect, Kate, very quickly. It's very efficient.
And it actually changed the brain, because now we have learned in the last 10, 20 years that it neuroplasticity is possible. The brain can recreate connections and make new connections.
Yes. Yes. And that's actually a research about this, about phonographics, that was done back in 1993.
Uh-huh.
And that's, yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. It is. It is. And you see it, Kate, you see it with people who are, of course, some people need more therapy hours than others. But I mean, the average is in 24-hour sessions, you can see a huge difference. And 24 hours is nothing.
You're doing wonderful work, Leila.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kate, honey. Thank you very much.
Well, let's close this conversation with a little bit of cultural education. Leila, would you please tell us a little bit about your trip this summer to Jordan and Turkey?
Jordan is a beautiful country. And I know a lot of Americans or even European people know about the Dead Sea. It is in Jordan. And the capital of Jordan is Amman. And Amman is like a city that has, how many, maybe five mountains. It's about, the Dead Sea is about, an hour drive from Amman, Jordan, from Amman. And also there's Petra, and Petra is, you know, is a historic, city. It's very, you know,
incredible.
And because I want my children to see, you know, fascinating places, different places. This year, we did go to, the Dead Sea. We couldn't go to Petra, but we did go to Petra like, about 2 years ago. And also Aqaba. Aqaba is also a very well-known city, and it's on the Red Sea. And Jordan's weather in the summer is beautiful. It's very mild because, you know, it's it has mountains. So it's not, a lot of people think that, you know, the weather in the Middle East is very hot. Over there, it's dry because Amman, Jordan doesn't have any, like, it's a closed city, doesn't have any sea on it. If you want to go to water, the closest is the Dead Sea, which is an hour drive. And yes, and we also went to Turkey, and Turkey is also considered between, you know, Middle East and Europe. I took the children to Antalya, and Antalya is a city on the Mediterranean Sea. And Turkey is like also fascinating. I mean, Turkey has a completely different language, and most of the people in Turkey don't speak English. And it's actually a very appealing kind of a business. If you want to do English as a second language, I think it will be a big hit in Turkey. Because even, because even, I mean, like university students, they would know English, but they won't speak it fluently. Of course, you know, when you go to the resorts, most of the people there, they do speak English. It's a beautiful country, Kate. It has the mountains, the sea. It's cheap. You know, like for $100 makes what, almost 700 Turkish lira, which is like really, you feel like rich when you go to Turkey because you can have a great meal. What I liked about Turkey is that you see everything, you know, different from Europe. It's considered, of course, European country. It's part of the EU. But you would hear like the Adhan, which is, you know, mosques are everywhere, but at the same time, you know, churches. You would see a Turkish lady wearing a bikini and, you know, swimming. And at the same time, you would see another one who's wearing a hijab. And everyone has his own freedom. No people are judging anyone. So it makes, you know, tourism environment really nice. I really love what you do, because it is very important when you know the language to speak it without being so stressed out. So I do encourage people from all around the world to learn English, because it opens door of everything around the world, no matter what your, you know, first language is.
Leila, I've loved talking to you, and
definitely, thank
you so much, Kate, for being on the podcast.
Of course. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
You've been listening to the second part of my conversation with bilingual reading therapist Leila Bedis. To find out more about Leila and how she helps dyslexic and other struggling readers, visit her website at a2zreadingclinic.com. You can download a transcript and lesson guide for this and other episodes when you join the Conversations with Kate Patreon community. It's a small investment in the future of this podcast and provides you with English language learning materials for as little as $2 a month. Learn more by visiting my website, www.conversationswithkate.net, and click on Listen to the Podcast. Thanks to Aaron Burdett for our music. This is Kate. Remember that every day is a gift. I'm honored that you spent some of your precious time with me. Thank you for listening. Until next time.